It is crazy how, I was telling somebody the other day, when Billy the Kid passed away over at WIMZ, we grew up, he spent like 30 something years, most of my adult life listening to him. But, if you listen to them today, they're still playing the same songs they did. Almost to the exact playlist. It's crazy how much staying power good music has.
Yeah, man, I totally agree, and I'll hear something from the 80s, whether it be Bad Company or whatever, and I like to ask my kids, does this sound old to you? I just wonder if it sounds like 30-year-old music sounded to me when I was their age, and sometimes they'll say, no, this is great, and sometimes they'll say, yeah, Dad, that's really old, but the good stuff stays good, and like you said, Ron's just got good staying power. It's like you and I, it ages well, right?
Absolutely. Just like fine wine, Chris Corman, Ron Morton, aging well. We're in the Good Genetics Club. Sam Forman, good job spinning the tunes today. And, it's pretty amazing that you're spinning music from an era that you weren't even born yet.
Well, I grew up with a lot of that music growing up, even though obviously I wasn't born in that era. I'm just more jealous of the fact you all over there in the Good Genes Club, you all are aging like a fine wine. I'm falling apart at the seams left and right. So, that's what I'm really jealous of right now.
If you kind of shed some of those cats, you won't be tripping over them and you won't be having scooters that you're getting around on. Just a little advice.
But it's one of them did try to, potentially kill me by tripping me last night. So, it's maybe not the worst advice I've gotten.
That's right. Hey, let's stay with the speed lines. Let's get first time caller. Bennett, I believe, is on the Food City lead lap. Welcome to the show, Bennett.
Hey guys, good morning. How are we today?
Hey man, we're doing great. We got a little thing we do for first time callers. You got a second?
Absolutely.
All right, hit it, Sam.
Have you ever been in trouble with the law?
I've had a few close calls, boys, but I've never actually gone to jail.
Well,
that's a great record.
That's a good record. Never been caught.
Close, but no cigar.
That's it. All right, hit it. What you got?
Well, guys, I'm certainly looking forward to some more short track racing, but what was on my mind is anyone calling the Bristol Dirt Race from just a couple weeks ago a bust? Are they calling it a Bristol bust? Obviously, they're planning on doing it in 2022, but to me, it just doesn't seem like it necessarily took off, and we had more problems than maybe some successes there. Just wanted to see y'all's thoughts.
Well, I can take part of that question, and Chris Corum can take part of it. I'll take the part from being there. I definitely didn't feel like it was a bust. I thought it had a lot of great energy around it. The people in the grandstands that I sat next to were excited. People in the concession lines were excited. Obviously, they had limited attendance with COVID. They did announce, and they are already selling tickets for 2022. So I don't think that they felt like it was a bust either. And actually, they're still racing up there, Bennett. They still got a World of Outlaws race next weekend that is going to kind of bring all that to a head. So I don't think Bristol Dirt Nationals are going anywhere anytime soon. That's my take.
Yeah, that's good feedback. I don't know. It seemed like I read an article about Richard Petty not being too fond of it. I don't know if that was Bristol itself or maybe dirt in general, but didn't know if y'all had heard that.
Yeah, and I think I think that might be taken out of context just a little, because I think Richard's comment was, I'm not real excited about him doing it, because he was the last winner of a dirt race in NASCAR's Premier Series. And he said, so now I know that I'm not going to be the last winner anymore since they're having another one. So I think that was Richard's comment, and I'll kind of mirror what Ron said. I think it was an exciting event. Yes, they did have their challenges. With a little dust, and I think they learned a lot. I look for the next race to be more of an evening race. I think they learned a lot about the characteristics of what a dirt racetrack does during the day. And, it's a lot of work. A tremendous amount of work by a lot of people to even make that happen. So, I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting. Yes, it wasn't perfect. But in my opinion, that's one thing that makes dirt racing cool, is its imperfections.
Yeah, and I can certainly appreciate NASCAR mixing things up and trying some fresh new things. I think they got to do that to stay appealing to the younger demographic and the middle and the old. And I'm glad they're changing things up, but I just didn't think it went off without a hitch. But I think March is probably the worst time you can have a race in Bristol. A few years ago, we were delayed because it was snowing. So just some thoughts there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bennett, for sure. I know that they would love to have a little later date, and actually they've got a little later date than they had previously. When you talked about the snow, I was also in attendance at that race, and it was pretty dang cold up there. So I can assure you they'd like to have a little later date. Maybe they'll be able to massage that around with some recent schedule changes. Maybe they won't, but they needed to do something up there in March. I think the dirt was a decent solution. I mean, they had to get some people back in there in March. It had sort of lost its luster for different reasons or not, but you got a pick for tomorrow's race.
Well, I'll tell you this, guys. There's one pick you'll never go wrong with, and that's Awesome Bill from Dawson Bill's boy, Chase Elliott.
All right, we got you down for Chase Elliott. And like I said, that's a good pick, and he's going to be starting in the top 10. So call us back next week, and we'll chat it up again.
I enjoyed it, gentlemen. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you. That's Bennett, new caller here on the lead lap. Let's get to Tyler's call. Tyler, never short of opinion. You're on the Food City Lead Lap.
I just want Bennett to call back next week. That's the first real opinion I've heard in the past. That is perfect. I thought I was going to take the lid off of it and dig into it and just get to some truths about the whole Bristol thing. And I'm glad that he led me into the segment that I'm going to have about it. This is excellent. Thank you, Bennett. I appreciate the comment, because Sam, are you ready? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, when Jeremy Pruitt was getting relieved of his duties at UT last year, you were taking calls on all these things on the reason why it was a failed outing or why he deserved to be released. You know, I was on hold during an interview last week, and I'm thinking about, they're talking about putting roofs on it and doing all these things that just didn't correlate to what we saw on Bristol dirt. One, if Chris Corum was to go out to Smoky Mountain Raceway and make Smoky Mountain Raceway a one-groove dirt track, his drivers and fans would be very disappointed. There's the first thing. The second thing is this. We're talking about adding a roof to a NASCAR track. The part of making a track is a temperature change and everything else. If you do that, to me, you are numbing the track as far as natural characteristics. The second thing is, the third thing, why would you just not move it to June, make it a night race on concrete, and just call it a day and have two Bristol night races? And I'll explain the reason why I say that. The Bristol dirt race, Chris knows this too, on Jeff Luck's poll, ranked ninth of the 12 races that have been ranked in that poll of the spring race. You're telling me we're going to put all our gold in a race that ranked 9 out of 12 spring races that have been rated? I would absolutely call it before gold. And that's the only reason why I don't like the idea of putting a roof on it. Let's just be smart about it. Move it from the spring, move it to like early June or July 4th weekend, add some luster to it, and then come back in September and just go at it for a playoff race. I just don't understand why we would talk about all these things. We have simple solutions already in front of us.
Well, and I understand all your comments, and like most things that we preface with why don't they, there's a lot of reasons we understand why they don't, like logistics, other races in that date, and that sort of thing, you know. And I've not been in NASCAR scheduling meetings, but I'm sure that they get pretty intense and can even get political as far as, well, we've always had two dates and the economic impact to the community of when they have it. So, like I said, there's a lot of details I'm sure that we don't know that goes into the scheduling of NASCAR. Yeah, as far as feasibility of the weather and whatnot, it does make sense on the surface. But like a lot of things that make sense on the surface, when you dig deep into it, you're like, aha, that's why they couldn't do it.
Right. And I was hoping to hear that answer last week during that interview. I was like, why wouldn't that considered like in maybe 2019 or earlier after we have experienced rain, cold, snow, or whatever? You know, I was hoping that we get a little more insight last week on those things, because there's people like me and Bennett questioning, like, why in the world would you just not try to switch it up, especially with Daytona going away on July 4th weekend? Why not replace it with a summer Bristol race again? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem I'm talking about, like, disconnect between fans and NASCAR that has to be vitalized. I'm going next week to Talladega. I won't go to NASCAR races the day that I die. I'll put my money in it until they chuck me in the clay. But as a fan, you ask these questions, you're like, well, my goodness, guys, did anyone not think about trying to ask the local people that live in East Tennessee like I have for 25 years, or Ron or Chris or anybody lived here their whole entire life? Like, we all know spring from March to about early May, it's going to rain at least once or twice a week, like no matter which day of the week it is. And, you know, that's the point that I struggle with the whole conversation. This isn't like something that just happened. You know, I remember my dad talking about going to Bristol and it raining, or being cold and snowing, or, you know, the race getting delayed. The roof, to me, is just a Band-Aid on a sore.
Well, I think, yeah, Tyler, I'll hop in here real quick, but, I mean, and give you my opinion on the roof. I mean, first, if I'm going to spend $80 million, you got to tell me how I'm going to pay it back, and how it's going to put more butts in the seat, and what it's going to do. So I don't see just adding a roof to Bristol Motor Speedway that it really changes anything for the core race fans, for sure. Maybe you attract some fans that want to come see an architectural spectacle or whatever they want to call it. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're still racing. And so I'm not a fan of the roof. I don't think it does anything for you. I mean, we've dealt with rain and inclement weather since we've been racing. I mean, and so to try to think that you put a roof on it and you'd be able to control that, you'd be able to race regardless of whether you had inclement weather and not be held over to Monday. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that it does anything. It's fun to talk about, but, and they might do it. I mean, they've done some things that I thought they'd never do it. So yeah, they might do it, but I don't know that it's a great business decision. As far as moving the race to July, I mean, that'd be great, but they've already got a race in August, so they're not going to put that back-to-back. The August race is their creme de creme, so they're going to keep that. So they need some separation, in my opinion, between the two races. I'm sure they'd love to have a May date, maybe Memorial Day, which that's not going to happen because we all know where they're at then. But I'm sure they'd like to have a little later date. But you still got to get some race separation. I mean, they did the two race thing, I think, at Pocono last year. Richmond sits 51,000 people. Could you run back-to-back weekends at Richmond and fill that up both weekends? Probably. You go back to Bristol and look at the seats that they got in there, 100,000 plus. I mean, if you get those races, in my opinion, too close together, you're just going to pull from one and the other, and you're going to have two lackluster races. And that's my thoughts on that.
Right. You know, and that's the only reason I bring these points up, is because, you know, we ask for different people to have opinions on things, or, you know, because the 80s, I wasn't even thought of. I think my dad graduated high school in the 80s. Like, I'm 25. Like, you know what I mean? And we ask different people to have opinions or ideas on things and to get NASCAR moving, because I am the next generation. Like, you know, after me, you know, there's people that are 18 or younger. I am essentially one of probably the youngest fans that call in every week. And I'm on social media. I don't know how NASCAR does all that kind of stuff. The only reason I'm bringing up polls on Twitter and blah, 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 is because I track it like that. And if you want fans involvement, I think the first thing we do is try to bring people out to the track. Like I said, from the dirt place, when I'm talking about like Blue Mountain people relating to Bristol dirt, to me it's hard to do, especially when you have a one groove race surface, you know. And like I said, you know, Chris would have a hard time telling it to his drivers. But if you wanted to do that, take it to Eldora. Like, if you want a dirt race, like just don't ruin Bristol with it. And that's the problem that I have in my head with all this talk, like I said last week, you know, all, I'm like, my goodness. Would it not been just to go to just the outdoor, like, you know, like cancel a Charlotte race or something? Like, you know what I mean? I just, it just bothered me last week because I thought there was such a disconnect between reality and what needed to be said.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and I agree a lot with that as far as a disconnect. I mean, you even see automotive manufacturers that are at such a disconnect from what people really want that they come out with products that seems cool to them in the design center, but then nobody wants it. So I'm with you on the disconnect. What I'm hearing callers, all the callers that have called us in today, they want a retractable top, which, you know, a retractable roof. And so, you know, NASCAR, I mean, as small as an idea as that sounds, Ron, I think that NASCAR, and it's called market research. It's called, what does this demographic, what do they enjoy? What do they enjoy? What do they want to see? What do they want to consume? And so just with that, all I'm hearing is, Ron, I've got an idea, though. We can save them a ton of money at Bristol and give the fans what they want and put like a like one of the Bimini tops, you know. I think everybody calls them bikini tops, but the little tops on a Jeep that you can, the fabric tops, I say they put a Bimini top on Bristol Motor Speedway that they can take on and off. What do you think?
Tyler?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, well, I was waiting on Ron because, like, you know, I'm fine with trying something different. But, like, now, I know they moved the playoff race, you know, missing all, I think that's September now, right, Ron? Like, I think that's in September, I mean, a playoff race. So they've been willing to move the summer race, which to me is interesting because that's the most race everybody talks about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you figured, like, you would never want to move that thing. Like, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you move the spring race to dirt and expect it to happen. Like, I get the talk from your own. We can try things. I'm all about it. I am. I'm all about trying things. I really am. But when it rates 9 out of 12 races and the concrete is putting on good racing, people think you have to run the bottom and run into each other to be good racing. That is not the case. Racing is meant to be multiple groove, wide open, and someone passing you no matter what. I thought Kyle Busch and Kevin Hart put on a heck of a show in September. You know what I mean? If you think about that race, there probably wasn't a better race all season to watch those two go at it for 50 laps and run a multiple groove racetrack. You know what I mean? That is also, I think, a fairy tale is that we think good racing is somebody running over somebody to win. Or watching Dale Earnhardt's clip where they show 500 times of him wrecking Taylor Bondi. That's not racing. Racing is making my car go faster around the track than yours at every point of it. It's not me running through you to find out if I can win. And I think that's also a very bad perception that marketing people that have on NASCAR. You know, that is not the objective to go to racetrack and wreck 50 cars. If we're going to do that, like Tony Stewart said at Talladega, we'll have a figure eight. Like, you know what I mean? So I just, that's the problem that I just keep reoccurring. And I go to Bristol religiously. I went to Bristol Dirt. This isn't somebody I just show up and just don't have it. I go to races. I just struggle with it, boys.
All right, Tyler, we're going to have to leave it right here. One thing I can tell you for sure is I do know what you mean. You got a pick for tomorrow, Richmond, real quick.
Yes, I took Kyle Busch.
Good. I was hoping you'd take Kyle Busch. I think it's my prediction. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and pre-say this before we close out. I'm taking Kyle Busch next week, too. So, anyway, we got you down. We'll talk to you next week. Always good opinions and good thoughts, and we'll pick it up where we left off. All right, that's Tyler. Join us on the Food City League Lap. See you, buddy. Luke, stay with us. We're going to get you on the other side of the break. We're right up against it. Don't forget to set your Ted Russell Ford Fantasy Racing League lineup every week. You can play along with us on NASCAR Fantasy at NASCAR.com. You're listening to the fastest 2 hours in radio, the Food City League Lap. We'll be right back. As we celebrate the hair bands of the 80s, thanks to Mr. Foreman. That song was released in 1987. It was on the Slippery When Wet album. And in 2013, it went triple platinum with over 3 million digital downloads. Chris Corum, triple platinum. That's me and you.
That's us. That's we are platinum Bon Jovi, a big band in the 80s for sure, especially the as you said, the mid and late 80s. A lot of hits out of that band.
Were you rocking the long hair and the mustache in the 80s?
I was. And in fact, you know, yeah. Zach's hair is really long now, and it's longer than mine ever was. But, yeah, I was a rock and roller, as you say, trying to be a chick magnet. And, you know, that was my heroes. I mean, John Bon Jovi and Eddie Van Halen and those guys, you know, I think we all kind of wanted to look like them in the 80s. And played in a band a little bit, I guess, just trying to get girls. And that was a cool era. And, you know, I was thinking off break, I think that's part of Tyler's challenge, man. He didn't grow up in the 80s.
Yeah, that could be part of what's going on in there. He's definitely got some walls there hitting each other. So and he's got a little Alabama, and then, you know, and there's this Kyle Busch thing. I mean, he needs counseling.
Well, it'll help it clear up in his mind just to listen to some 80s music. It always helps me.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Let's get to last week's Bristol or Bust winner, Luke. We're happy to have you, and we appreciate you hanging on patiently. How are you, sir?
Great. I'm doing great.
Congratulations.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you. About time I won one, you know.
Well, if you can't eventually win on MTJ, you're doing something wrong.
That was a beautiful victory. He just slipped right by there and won that with a lot of room to way out there in front.
Were you surprised by that? Did you think Hamlin had it wrapped up?
Well, not necessarily, because it was a short track, so I thought something might happen where he could overtake him, you know. But I was hoping. Got a little bit lucky there.
Yeah, we got now, your name in a hat. How many names you got in there? Is that just the first for the season?
Yeah. I won. Three other drivers won, but not the week I picked them, you know.
So. It's the small details that always get us, Chris Corum.
Yeah, it's just the small details always get you.
Yeah. My driver won, but not the week I picked him.
Right.
I got you. What about Bristol? Roof on, roof off.
Roof on. Don't Charlotte Motor Speedway have a roof? I was there in 1978. Seemed like they had a roof.
Chris Corum, I don't think they've got a roof over Charlotte, do they?
No, no roof. No,
yeah. They might have some overhang.
Yep.
Okay, maybe I was under the overhang. I was there in 1978. And it was a lot of fun. But the roof, you know, I'm on a baseball. Do y'all know who Tony Vitale is? The baseball coach?
Yes, sir.
Over UT?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I've been trying to get a roof put over there. You know, I'd like to see them enclose that, because in March, February and March, it's cold. And I'd like to see them enclose that. And do y'all think Tony Vitale would make a good race car driver?
Sam Foreman, he knows more about Tony. Tony, what's your thoughts on that, Sam?
Well, I mean, he's grew up in Missouri, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, you've got some decent racers from that area. I think he's got the aggressiveness, and I think he could have the attitude to pull off being a race car driver. I definitely think he's competitive enough to where racing could be something he would be into. Without knowing how well he drives, you know, even just normal, it's hard to say how good a racer he would be. But I can see him at least being giving it a go and being somewhat successful.
Okay.
He's got the mentality for it, at least.
Yeah. People going to the race, how much is a normal ticket cost? So say if I wanted to go to Richmond tomorrow, what would the ticket cost?
I'm going to guess that they're going to have tickets in the range of $65 to $175, depending on where you sit.
Yeah. Well, I'll be glad when we can open this thing back up again. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, limited seating. I think we all can agree on that. And I tell you what, if you get out and about much this week, I mean, it's starting to open back up. You're seeing people starting to relax a little bit. And that's definitely a breath of fresh air, Luke.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try Ryan Blaney since he blew it last week. I think he might come back and give it a shot this week.
All right, man, we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, how could he overrun his pit stop there a little bit? How could he do that? just going too fast, I guess.
Yeah, Chris Corum can answer to that better than I can.
Yeah, I think so. And Martinsville is a tough place on brakes. So, you know, a lot of times you'll boil the fluid or the pedal will get a little soft. And, you know, I think you got an air hose hung up too, maybe in the fender. So, you know, one bad pit stop can blow your whole day. And that's what happened to Ryan Blaney last week.
Yeah. Well, he'll be looking for a victory today, I believe. I mean, tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. We got you down, Luke. Anything else?
That'd be all.
All right, brother. Congratulations. Good luck. All right, that's Luke. Join us. Last week's winner of Bristol or Bush. You can play Bristol or Bush, and you could be going to the night race on us. What does that mean? That means that we got your tickets to every race. For the Bush's Beans race, you'll get to be in the flag stand and be the honorary flag waver or starter of that race. You get shower passes over in the campground. You got a camping spot for your camper. You got $100 from Food City, and we're always adding to the prize pack. So you can play each week by picking your driver, and if your driver wins, you get one in the hat for Bristol or Bush. Do that on Saturdays 10 to noon. And also, it's time to talk dirty. Talking Dirty brought to you weekly by Beginning Point Land Surveying. Land is expensive. Is somebody on yours? Hat Man, you guys racing at the mountain tonight?
Yes, sir. Get to that here in just a second. Last night, Brandon Overton was able to pick up the Schaefer Oil Spring National win at I-75 after starting 10th. So Brandon Overton with a nice show last night. Jonathan Davenport stays hot, 2 for 2 this week at Tyler County Speedway on Thursday night. Then again, at one of my dad's favorite old racetracks, Isom, Kentucky, Jonathan Davenport getting a couple of wins. Kyle Larson also in the All-Star Sprint Car Series, All-Star Circuit of Champions, won at famed sprint car track Williams Grove, Pennsylvania last night. As we talked, Kyle Larson, 8 dirt races in 3 different cars with an average finish of 1.6. Kyle Larson continues to impress. Now, coming up, if you like Ken Schrader, and I do, he's a friend of ours and here at the lead lap, he is going to be racing his modified next Friday night at Boyd Speedway. That's on April the 23rd. And then the following night at Wartburg Speedway, NASCAR legend Ken Schrader will have his modified April 24th at Wartburg Speedway. Coming up tonight, it's the Smoky Mountain Speedway rocking with the stars from WIMZ. We've got Southern All-Star Super Late Models, the Steel Block Bandits, our local Sportsman Division, and the always entertaining front wheel drives plus ladies wheelbarrow racing. That's tonight at Smoky Mountain Speedway. Racing action will start at 7 p.m.
And that's Talking Dirty, and that's brought to you weekly by Beginning Point Land Surveying. Land is expensive. Is somebody on yours? Hat Man, you got your wheelbarrow tuned up?
I think so.
All right, man. What do you got to do to tune up a wheelbarrow?
Well, I think you got to make sure you got air in the tire. That's the first thing. Anybody that's got a wheelbarrow at the house, they know that that's the first thing you always got to do is make sure that you air that tire back up, because those things are really slow on flats.
Can you run a two-wheeled wheelbarrow, or has it got to be a one?
You know, and I don't have too much involvement in the technical side of the wheelbarrow race tonight, but I don't think there's any rules.
If I race you and you beat me and I want to tear your wheelbarrow down, how's that look?
Well, like I said, I'm not sure what the rules actually are, but I know me thinking as far as speed, I'm thinking of getting something really light, something with a low rolling resistance tire, and something that I can just push as fast as I can. So I'm not sure what the rules are and how you make a wheelbarrow protest, but thankfully I'm not in charge of post-race teardown on those wheelbarrows, because I'll tell you, these ladies, they get serious about racing, man. We had a powder puff race at Crossville one night, and I swear, man, I thought those girls were going to get in a fight over the bunny trophy that we had. They were serious.
Oh, yeah, those women, man, they're competitive. I mean, they get serious about a lot of things, especially racing a wheelbarrow.
Anyway,
I was thinking probably if I had to see one thing on your wheelbarrow, I'd probably want to see your bearings.
The bearings, yeah. Got the low-friction, low-resistant bearings, yeah. That'd be a nice place to improve your performance.
That's right. He's Hat Man. He's over in the Corrington studios. I'm your pit boss, Ron Morton. I'm over in the North City studios. Sam Foreman keeping us all jacked up back in the Bobby Denton Broadcast Center. We are the lead lap, and we are going to take a break. We'll be right back for the last segment. The White Flag's out. Stay with us. Last week it was the 70s. This week it was the 80s, released in 1982 on the Saints and Sinners album. That song hit number one on the Billboard charts and spent 28 weeks there. Hat Man, you a saint or a sinner?
Man, I'll have to say surely a saint. I guess we've been both in our lives, and hopefully we transition at some point from a sinner to a saint. But I guess we're all sinners, and in the end, just thank God we got somebody that can forgive us of those.
Amen. What about you, Foreman?
Well, I mean, I think I've got one guy that looks a little bit more like a devil sitting on one shoulder, and one guy that looks a little bit more like an angel sitting on the other. So depends on who I listen to.
Okay. Well, just get good ears and listen up. I'm going to say if I had the same question posed to me, I'd be a nice blend of both. I'd try to be a little more of a saint than a sinner of my past. But I'll have to say back in the 80s, I was probably a little more on the other side.
We all have that spell, right?
I don't think I ever hurt anybody. Does that count?
I would say so. I guess, right?
I don't know. Some people would say sin, sin. All right, we're off topic. We'll move on. Nobody wants to talk about that. It's time to go to school. It's time for Tech Talk with a Hat Man.
Okay, Ron, as I preface Tech Talk, a lot of times I'll say we could spend a whole show on this, and we really could. One of the things that
speaking of tech, Ron, I think we just lost Chris.
All right, we'll try to get Chris back, and we'll go back to Tech Talk when we do that. Tech Talk's brought to you weekly by Bobcat and Oxford. Just let us know when we got him back. And we're talking about racing at Richmond. They'll go off tomorrow around 2:30, 3 o'clock. There is a truck race today at 1:30 at Richmond. You can catch that, I believe, on MRN, SiriusXM. We'll have that call. So it's racing at Richmond as we top off the trio of races at Richmond Raceway, which is the trio of short track races. We did the Bristol Dirt. We moved from there, went to the Paperclip. We moved from there, and now we're back on to Richmond. And next week, we go some super speedway racing. What about you, Foreman? You ready for some super speedway action?
I'm ready for some super speedway action, and I already know what you're going to request for next week's music list, and I had a blast putting that list together last year. So I look forward to doing some interesting music research over the next week.
You've really stepped up your game on the music. I think that you may have just gotten that position. It's a non-paying gig, by the way.
Well, you know, most gigs in music are non-paying. You just hope they throw a couple scraps of food your way.
Yeah, it does. It does have a little notoriety that comes with it, and you can't take it and deposit that in the bank. But you know, hey, you click cool music, people think you're a cool dude.
Hey, it just means, you know, people ask me to put together some party lists and stuff like that, probably. So it works.
Yeah, exactly. You could be a the lead lap DJ, moving from house to house, party to party.
There we go. The fastest party in radio.
That's it. Have we got Chris back?
Not. Oh, no. Yeah, we do. We got him back now.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, it seems like I hop off on Tech Talk. We have technical challenges during Tech Talk every time we do them. So a bit of irony there, but not sure where we lost me. But what I was going to close with is the team who has their shock absorber package figured out the best probably is going to end up in victory lane tomorrow at Richmond.
And that's Tech Talk, and that's brought to you weekly by Bobcat of Knoxville, one tough animal. We're talking about racing at Richmond, and we got a couple of minutes just to kind of chat it out a little bit there, and then we'll get our picks and our close. But moving on to Talladega, Chris Corum, after we come off of this short track trio, are you excited about super speedway racing?
Yeah, man, I am, especially with the parity of competition we talked about. I mean, the speedways are a completely different animal than what we've been looking at with the, I mean, you look, we come from Bristol Dirt to Martinsville on the Paperclip to Richmond, which is in my opinion, the perfect size racetrack for this type of race car. It's 3/4 mile wide racetrack. Then we go, got Talladega coming up in the speedways, which Arrow is always a factor. And luck, of course, is a big factor at Talladega and Daytona as well.
Looking forward to the big one at Talladega coming up next week as we finish up the trio of short track racing, and then we'll be doing some road course racing, which I'm looking forward to the Circuits of America and some of the road courses on the 2021 schedule. We're going to be talking a little bit more about the next gen car in the weeks to come as it comes up on the lead lap. Chris Corum, we're going to close this thing out. I'm going to let you make a pick, and also if you got any shout outs, go ahead and get them in.
Well, I'll tell you what, first of all, I want to wish Herman Goddard a happy birthday. Herman Goddard is, man, I'll tell you, that guy is 85 years old today, and, you know, member of the Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame, also National Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame. Herman Goddard, just a true East Tennessee treasure here. I want to wish him a happy birthday. I'm going to pick sixth starting Kyle Larson, coming off a big sprint car win last night at Williams Grove. I'm going to pick the number five of Kyle Larson.
All right, we got the number five off the board, and happy birday, Herman Goddard, and hope to see you soon. You have been a patriot and for our sport for sure, and we just want to wish you a happy birthday. And so get your pick in. Kyle Busch is my pick, and we're going to give it to Sam real quick.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs Racing's been dominant, so short on time. I'm just going to go with Denny Hamlin in the 11.
All right, we got Hamlin there off the board. You've been listening to the fastest 2 hours in radio, The Lead Lap.